This is a coastal story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. They called her the Queen of Thorn. Letitia Pearson, known as Lena, was 21 when she bought Thorn Island from the War Office in 1932 for £90. It's barely even an island. More a storm-lashed piece of rock a few hundred yards off the Pembrokeshire coast at the entrance to Milford Haven. But Lena Pearson intended to live there. It was a plausible, if unusual, idea. There was even somewhere for her to live. In 1854, when fear of a French invasion under Napoleon III was at its height, a substantial fort was built, covering almost the entire 2-acre summit of the island. Abandoned since 1895, the fort would make an impressive residence, she thought, even if, with no electricity or running water, not to mention very few windows, its cons weren't exactly mod. In bad weather, you could even be stranded there for weeks, unable to make it to the mainland across the stormy sea. On the face of it, it wasn't exactly home sweet home, but Lena had big plans, and she could afford to make them happen. She hoped to hold sumptuous parties on the island, and would invite friends to visit, to stay for as long as they liked in one of her 10 bedrooms. Eventually, in 1933, after a year or so of extensive renovations and restorations, Lena Pearson moved in. Whimsical her purchase may have been, but the prospect of adventure had always appealed to her. The sea was in her blood, for one thing. Her grandfather was Sir Henry Felix Woods, also known as Woods Pasha, a naval officer who became an admiral in the Imperial Ottoman Navy and aide-de-camp to Sultan Abdul Hamid II. Letitia was also part of the fabulously wealthy Pearson publishing dynasty, so when she turned 21 and came into her trust fund, she could indulge herself in the purchase of an abandoned fort on an inhospitable rock off the south coast of Wales. Now, Lena Pearson was no recluse. She was already an accomplished yachtswoman and owned more than one fast car, not to mention a couple of speedboats. Once she was ready to move into her fort, however, she decided she'd rather let someone else do the driving, and the sailing, and certainly the rowing. Sidney Hicks was the man for the job. A local man, 4 years her senior, who came from a long line of fishermen. The 20-minute row between mainland and island was nothing to Sidney, who knew those waters well. These were not seas for a novice. The sea around Thorn Island was littered with wrecks. Ships like the Loch Shiel, which, en route to Melbourne from Liverpool in 1894, had been battered by a fearsome storm and broken up close to the island. Everyone was rescued, but of the 7,000 bottles of whiskey in the hold, barely 2,000 remained by the time the customs men arrived. It was Wales's very own whiskey galore. Sidney Hicks proved to be so reliable, trustworthy and efficient, he effectively became the island's caretaker, fixing things, restoring things, making things, keeping the place supplied with everything it needed, not to mention rowing Lena to and from the mainland whenever required. Before long, Sydney's younger sister, Nellie, was also working for Lena as a domestic servant. One day in 1935, she walked to the cliff edge to throw some rubbish into the sea, lost her footing, and tumbled down the cliff, landing on rocks 50 feet below. Sydney and Lena heard her scream, rushed to the boat, and hurried close to where Nellie lay, unconscious but breathing and bleeding from a head wound. The pair managed to scramble over the rocks and carry Nellie back to the boat. They rowed to the mainland, sent for the doctor, and after a spell in hospital for what was initially suspected to be a fractured skull, Nellie made a full recovery. Maybe that was the day everything became clear. Lena had watched Sydney's fraternal concern, how he didn't panic, how he'd remained calm and steady, and knew immediately what to do. She sensed the fear beneath the surface, though, could see him finding ways to blame himself as he pulled hard on the oars, his shock of blonde hair tumbling over his forehead with each stroke, mouth in a grimace, part effort, part dread. Sydney Hicks, she thought, was a good man. Later, back on the island, with Nellie safely in hospital, Sydney could finally thank Lena for her assistance. He scolded himself for barely registering that his boss, this wealthy woman from a world that couldn't be more different to his, had not thought twice about leaping into the boat and scrambling over rocks alongside him, when both of them carried the unspoken dread they might be recovering a corpse. Lena Pearson, thought Sydney, was a good woman. Before that day, they'd been employer and employee. Now, something was different. Something had changed. A year later, on the 4th of August 1936, Lena Pearson married Sydney Hicks at Monkton Priory Church in a simple ceremony attended only by close family. Letitia's brother Peter was Sydney's best man, and Letitia wore a fawn dress and a brown coat. Locals were amazed. Nobody had suspected the couple were even engaged. It didn't seem possible. The fisherman and the heiress. It was madness. Lady Chatterley stuff. They would surely come to their senses. It couldn't last. But it did last. Lena and Sydney stayed married for the rest of their lives. They had to move out of their fortress when it was requisitioned during the war, and they never returned to live full time. But even when Lena had passed Thorn Island onto her brother Peter, the couple would still visit, staying for a few days here and there. Sometimes, they'd even just stand on the shore, watching the sun set behind the fort. The Queen of Thorn, taking in her realm, with her consort alongside. That was A Coastal Story. I'm Charlie Connolly. You might be interested to know that I'll be doing my first in-person event in ages this week, on Friday the 11th of June as part of the Folkestone Book Festival. An evening of sea-related music and readings on the beach from folk legends John Bowden and Seth Lakeman and, well, me as well. It'll be a bit like a bumper episode of Coastal Stories, but with a soundtrack and a view. Now, I think it might actually be sold out already, but I'll put a link in the show notes just in case. I think also there might be a way of watching it remotely. I hope so. Anyway, I want to see it myself. If you're enjoying Coastal Stories, don't forget you can donate via the link in the show notes, and it's handily set up for the price of a pint, which is convenient. Not London prices either. Very reasonable. Thank you. Don't forget to find us on Twitter at Podcast Coastal and on Facebook at Coastal Stories Podcast. I'll put a couple of pictures up of Lena and Sydney. These waves you can hear were recorded in the early evening sunshine at Deal on the 3rd of June 2021.